turn back in our Bibles again to John chapter 9. I wanted to look briefly at the hands. No one can pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29, the Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Isn't it extraordinary? The Father can give his precious possession into the hands of the Son and they still be in his hand. There's a whole lot that we just believe and love to believe that I don't have to trouble my tiny brain about trying to understand. I just believe it. I believe it passionately. As we're singing that song, it has echoes of Romans 8, one of those extraordinary verses. Paul, in a sense, is challenging the world, isn't it? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus says that he and the Father are one. There is a glorious union between the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father, and it's reflected and reflective of the union between the Lord Jesus Christ and his people, which is why you can say we're in his hands. We're in his hands. We are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He is the head and we are the body. He is the vine, we are the branches. He's the shepherd and we are the sheep. In every way we are in his hands and we are united to him. I wanted us to spend a few minutes thinking about these hands. The psalmist in Psalm 35 says, my times are in thy hand. My times, all of them. My times right now, my times next week, my times last week, my times when I leave here, my times are in thy hand. Don't you love that, brothers and sisters? Everything about our existence here is in the hands of our great and glorious God. So these hands, I want us to look at several things about these hands. These hands are sovereign hands. These hands are nail-pierced hands. These hands are healing hands. These hands are saving hands. So these are sovereign hands, aren't we? We each pass through changing times. We pass through circumstances which just cause us to be wondering, what on earth does all this mean, and how on earth can this be serving God's good and glorious purposes? And yet it does. He changes not. He changes not. And what a glorious grace it is that we are called upon to trust him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Psalm 68:2. You pour out your heart before him. We pour out our heart before him not only when the sun shines, but when we pass through the valley of darkness. He performeth. I want us to think about these sovereign hands. He performeth the thing appointed for me. Job 23:14. He performeth. See, when God, Romans 8:28 says God works, it doesn't mean that God sort of sits here and watches things go on and then sort of tidies up the mess that we make. He works. He works. He performeth the thing appointed for me, and many such things are with him. All things are in his hand and under his control. That's why the Lord Jesus can say, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. No man can pluck them out of my hand. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. What an extraordinary security to be in his hands. Everything that moves in this world, even the most extraordinary inanimate objects, he moves the clouds according to his will, doesn't he? The clouds turn around by his counsel, and they do whatsoever he commanded them. My times are in thy hand. And that's why we can rest. We can rest if that hand is a hand that has taken hold of us. If that hand is a hand that's revealed by a voice that's called us, and that hand is a hand that's powerfully led us to the feet of the shepherd, we'll see that the good shepherd will cause his people to rest. Don't you love what the song of the Shulamite, the church, says in Song of Solomon chapter 1? She says, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. See, you can't worship a God who's not absolutely sovereign. And you can't love a God who changes and is not absolutely sovereign. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Everything is in his hands. My times are in thy hand. And we can rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We are travelling through this world to an unknown future, and all sorts of things come along to upset our little trolley, doesn't it? And the wheels fall off and we get bogged. We're travelling in an unknown way, but we're travelling with the known one, aren't we? Everything is known to him. Everything is ordained of him. It's all been done. All the works are finished from the foundation of the world. He comes to his own and he calls it the time of love. We can rejoice in these sovereign hands. No one can pluck any of the sheep of God out of these hands. My times are in thy hand. And of course, these hands, the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, are nail-pierced hands. And when you get to leave this world and see him, the marks of the nails are still there in his hands. Forever there are the emblems in the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ of his glorious redemption, his glorious victory, and his death on Calvary's tree. I love how the Lord, bearing the sins of all of his people and suffering under the wrath of God, calls out, my God, why did you forsake me? As those hands were pierced and blood poured forth from them and from his feet and from the wounds of his head and his back that was ploughed, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What were his last words on the cross? Now that redemption is finished, now that all the sins of all of God's elect people, now for all those sheep for whom he laid down his life, are free from sin, they're justified in the presence of God. They are sheep who have no sin in the presence of God. He then says, Father. Don't you love that? All through his life he says, Father, 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 my Father, my Father, my Father. On the cross he calls out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But now the work of redemption is finished. My God becomes Father again. Now don't you love those first words to the church? He says, Mary, why are you weeping? If you are a child of God in this world, what a great question. Why are you weeping? Why are you weeping? And then he says to Mary, I'm going to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. He trusted his Father. He came with a purpose, our great and sovereign God. He came to save his people from their sins, and save them all he did. And he trusted his Father. He was faithful. And his work of obedience to the law is our work of obedience to the law. His work of faithfulness to his Father, even unto death, is our faithfulness, isn't it? The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me. I was in his hands. He loved me and he gave himself for me. And the robe of righteousness is the robe of righteousness that he has spun all by himself. And it's got nothing to do with me. It's just put on me. Don't you love that picture at the cross when the men came to divide all of his garments? How did you get the robe, the seamless robe? You got it by lot. You got it by God giving it to whom he will give it. And so it is with the robe of righteousness in these days. This robe of righteousness bears the weight of life unto death. It bears the weight of life through all this world and into the next, doesn't it? Into the Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. These are the hands of power. Is God's hand shortened that it cannot redeem? Is he unable to do what he's promised? What hinders God from achieving his purpose? Why do the wolves and the hirelings present him as someone who tries and fails? What a ridiculous and shocking thing to say about God Almighty. As if somehow when he created the universe, there were a bunch of stars and said, I'm not going to be created. The sheep hear his voice and they follow him. There are hands of power, not hands of wisdom. You would have charted a path through this world, and God decided, and God in wisdom drew us to himself. And everything he does is wise, and everything he does is right. Because their hands, these powerful hands, are hands of love, and they're hands of correction. How often we need a hand of correction from our God, and they're hands of guidance, they're hands of protection. When my little kids were little and they were in their father's hands and in their father's arms, they were safe and secure. It didn't matter what the world was doing to them. We're in his hands, aren't we? We're in these sovereign hands. These nail-pierced hands are hands of preservation, and they're hands of salvation. And they're hands that lead us into his arms. Even there shall my hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me, Psalm 139, every step on the way to glory. But listen to this word from our great and glorious Saviour. Behold, take note, you have a look at this. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. Salvation appoints walls and bulwarks. It's all the description, isn't it, of our great and glorious God. I've graven thee on the palms of my hand. No matter what the circumstances are, I do love when David had sinned grievously at the end of his life and he had no reason whatsoever to number the children of Israel and to count all of his soldiers. They warned him, they said, you don't need to do it. If you've got God on your side, you've had him on your side, or you don't need, doesn't matter whether you have one troop or none or a million, it makes absolutely no difference. If you have God. And he was given a choice. The prophet came along and gave David a choice. I love what David said. Let me now fall into the hand of the Lord. There's punishment coming. 70,000 people of Israel died until the plague was stopped. Until the plague was stopped at the threshing floor, the place of sacrifice, the plague was stopped. Let me now fall into the hand of the Lord. And this is what David said. For very great are his mercies. Let me fall into his hands. And just briefly, these hands are sovereign hands. These hands are nail-pierced hands. These hands are hands of protection and leading and guidance and preservation. But they're healing hands, aren't they? They're healing hands. He reached forth his hand and touched the leper. He touched the leper. That leper hadn't been touched by anyone. Everyone that saw him ran from him. How long since he had a touch from anyone? And what happens if you touch a leper? You are immediately defiled unless all of the leprosy is gone. How can the Lord Jesus Christ touch us? Because all the sins are gone, brothers and sisters. A holy God can come and dwell with his people because they have no sin. Leprosy is a picture of sin. Where did it go? You just read Isaiah chapter 53 and we'll... These healing hands are heels of substitution and satisfaction and sacrifice. The sovereign Saviour successfully saved all of his sheep. He is God our Saviour. They're healing hands. He touches his people. He comes to his own. Isaiah 40 says he comes to his own and he picks them up in his arms and his hands hold them and he carries them close to his heart and he carries them above all of the things of this world and he carries them into glory. And they're saving hands for his sheep, aren't they? Don't you love? It's one of the best prayers in all of the Bible. Lord, save me. I don't know how often you pray that. I pray it on a daily basis and sometimes many times a day. Lord, save me. I can't save myself. All I ever do is get myself into more and more trouble. Lord, save me. That was the cry of a drowning, sinking Peter. And what did he do? I love what it says, immediately. Immediately. The Lord stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? What a great word from our Saviour. Lord, save me. And he reached forth his hand. Into thy hands I commend and commit my spirit. Into thy hands I would commit my ways, write on my heart thine orders for the day. I would place all that I may think or plan or say into thy hands. Into thy hands I would commit my care, all that has troubled me, for thou dost share. So I with confidence would leave it there in thy kind hands. Into thy hands I would commit my sin. Thou knowest all my faults without, within. Thou hast died my full release to win with pierced hands. Into thy hands I would commit each friend, be with them from life's dawning to its end. Daily may grace and peace on them descend from thy blessed hands. Into thy hands I would commit the whole, all needs of body, spirit, and soul. So I can rest, leaving the full control in thy wise hands. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you for the glories of who you are as revealed in the wonders of your Son coming and walking this earth. Your Son living here, touched with the feelings of our infirmities, Heavenly Father. He knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust. But, oh, Heavenly Father, what a wonder it is to hear the shepherd's voice. May we hear it again and again, a voice that calls us back to him, that calls us to see him as he's revealed in this word, to see him as an absolute sovereign, God Almighty, sitting on the throne of this universe, to see him, Heavenly Father, taking that book of life, the book of the eternal covenant of grace in his blood, and taking that book and reigning and ruling over all things for us. So, Father, help us to rest. Help us, our Father, to see him as precious. Help us, our Father, to sing the songs of heaven, that you have redeemed us and by your blood you have brought us to yourself out of everything in this world. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for the glory of a complete salvation that's been done for us and is revealed to us and in us in your dear and precious Son. Bless your words to our hearts, and may it be the voice of the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, that we hear again and again, our Father. For we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.